Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is my second podcast. You're here with the Sarah Carter Show, and we're really excited to have you. This is where the story begins. I'm very excited about this podcast because it's something very dear and close to my heart. And this is dealing with U.S. immigration, the drug cartels, the enormous crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border, and the crisis that we're not only dealing with, but our partners to the south are dealing with. I started working on the border years ago, actually when I first started as a reporter, young reporter in near L.A. in California, and I started following the drugs from our inner city streets all the way to the U.S.-Mexico border, where then I went into Mexico and covered the crisis all the way from the California border up to the Texas border with Matamoros. I spent a lot of time in Nuevo Laredo. I spent a lot of time in Arizona, in New Mexico. And these are stories that are very important to me. Like I say all the time, and I've said it on numerous other shows, on Fox News with Sean Hannity and with others, this has been a crisis that has been ongoing for decades. I'm finally grateful that we have an administration that's willing to do something about it. Not only is the border crisis important to me, but I believe the opioid crisis buttresses right off of the border crisis. We are working diligently. I have a foundation, the Dark Wire Investigation Foundation, which is working diligently to educate young people about the drug crisis in America, particularly the issue of fentanyl and opioids pouring across our border from Mexico, from South America, from China, and how deadly and poisonous this is. This is a terror attack on our American populace. And I think it's something that we really need to focus on. As you personally know, that I have done a documentary, it's at Not In Vain. That is V-E-I-N, Not In Vain, USA.com, where you could see the documentary free of charge. This is an educational documentary, but it really delves deep into the crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border. So important for us to understand what's going on and to protect our children and our families from the horrors of these drug cartels, which are actually right now being allowed to perpetuate this horrible behavior, human trafficking, drugs, and the like. One of the reasons why I'm doing this story today is because we have some really interesting data that just came out this week. Department of Homeland Security just released data showing that a good significant number of people within the caravans, these migrant caravans that are heading to the United States, particularly the October 2018 caravan and the January 2019 caravan, which were the thousands of people, that Department of Homeland Security was able to gather data showing that a good number of them actually have criminal histories. This is something that has been perplexing to me, that the Democrats refuse to address. A lot of these folks, I know that they found three of the migrants. Now, this seems like a small number in those groups, but it's really important to stress that these are only the people that we've caught. Three of them were actually convicted of murder. So that's very important. A lot of them with aggravated assault histories, drunk driving histories, rape. So there is a reason why people need to be vetted before they enter the United States. And this is one of those reasons. So Department of Homeland Security, along with ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, turned over all the numbers that they had so far to the House Oversight and Reform Committee. Congressman Jim Jordan had asked for those numbers. He's actually asking for more detailed numbers now. And this is the reason why I have a very special guest on the podcast today. And I'm so happy to have him because we need to hear from our Southern partners. And this is Mario Duarte. Mario Duarte, I've met him before. I was in Guatemala in October 2018, where Jenny's right here with me right now. She was able to see for herself on our most recent trip, actually, what was going on in Guatemala. I traveled to Guatemala October 2018 on my own, along with, though, Judicial Watch, Chris Farrell, and some others. And we went down there for the first time to watch the caravans come across the border from Honduras. Jenny went with me just recently, about 3 weeks ago. Jenny, what did you think? What was your impression of what we saw in Guatemala?
It was absolutely insane. You could see on the ground exactly what was happening, that these like you said in your story, when you came back, you wrote the story on the ghost towns, that no one was there. Everyone had left for the U.S. Children were missing.
That's right. It's really devastating to see what's happened to the people in Guatemala and how so many children, some of the children, and as Jenny brought up, and you can read these stories, by the way, at sarahacarter.com. That's sarahacarter.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter where you can see, that's Sarah Carter DC on Twitter, where you can see some of my stories and link to some of those stories. But we actually spoke to people in some of these towns in Santa Rosa de Lima, where they told us that some of the children have been missing for months. They're being recycled, being used by these coyotes, by the human traffickers, to get people into the United States because these loopholes are failing us. So let's get to Mario Duarte. He is Guatemala's Strategic Secretary for Intelligence. He is an amazing human being. He works very closely with the United States. I've seen some of the work that he is doing, that the government is doing in Guatemala, and I just want to hear his side of the story. That's important for us to understand both Guatemala's side of the story and what's going on in Central America right now and how that affects us. I'm on the phone now with Mario Duarte. Mario, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Sarah.
Wow, this is great. It's great being on with you. I know that you and I have gotten to know each other pretty well from my recent trips to Guatemala. You've made several trips yourself to the United States. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what's happening. As you know, President Trump has stated again that he wants to cut funding to Guatemala, to other Central American countries, until this crisis is rectified. How is your nation addressing this? What are you doing to address these issues with the Trump administration? And where are you at now as far as your current political and economic situation in Guatemala?
All right. Well, first off, thank you, Sarah. Thank you for having me. We actually... Obviously, we're aware that President Trump was going to cut some funding to Guatemala. However, when he communicated this through his spokesperson at the State Department, it was made also, you know, obvious there that the funding that was going to be cut is not directly related to all the security programs that allow us the Guatemalan authorities to assist also the U.S. authorities to curb down any flux of drugs, illegal immigrants, or any type of threat that can be coming through Guatemala towards the United States.
So that's a really important question, a point that you're making there, Mario. And I think our listeners need a little bit more explanation there. So the funding that's going to be cut is mainly looking at NGO groups, other type of special interest groups in the region, but not so much the security apparatus that works directly with your government in an effort to try to curb the drug cartels, to curb the issues of illegal immigration. Is that true? Am I right?
That is correct. So basically all the assistance that is given currently to our security forces, our armed forces, as long as it's used to curb down all these different threats towards the United States, they're going to remain in place. We're still going to be, receiving that assistance from the United States. And obviously, we are a partner of the United States, and we've been partner for a long time. Now, the funding that it's going to be cut, as we understand, it's all other funds that go, as you said, to NGOs or any other projects that are not related to security.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that's going to affect Guatemala overall? I mean, you do have economic hardships. Their current political situation, I know, is tenable right now. How do you think that's going to affect your country, and will that affect ours in the future? I mean, Democrats try to say, if we cut the funding to the NGOs, if we cut funding to groups that are trying to assist migrants, then we're going to see a bigger migrant problem here in the United States. Do you agree with that, or where do you stand on that?
Not at all. I don't agree with that assessment. To be honest with you, I don't think most of that money is actually being properly used in our countries, mainly in Guatemala. As you just said, a lot of that money goes to NGOs who spend it on mostly doing analysis and white papers and studies. The money is not really going towards the people. There is not a significant, there is no significant projects that really help us along those lines. I just had a couple of days ago, I had a conversation with a couple of project managers from USAID that have worked here in Guatemala. They have worked in Haiti. They have worked in Africa. They have worked in Afghanistan. And the issue here is that the projects are almost like pet projects for some political ideal. You know, it's not something that's going to significantly increase the Guatemalan capacity to actually start building up on that and create jobs and create some sort of development. At some point there needs to be a good coordination in between the executive of the United States and the executive of Guatemala to really make a change in how these projects are selected and how they are funded, to make sure that the money is actually used to assist us in developing our undeveloped, you know, regions, and, you know, redundancy applied here.
Oh, well, one of the big issues, and I know that this is something that concerns you, we've discussed it in the past, we discussed it when I was in Guatemala recently, is the movement of migrants now from all over the world going through both South America, coming up through Colombia, in through other areas like El Salvador. These are people from African nations, people from the Middle East, known as special interest aliens here in the United States. And I know that Guatemala, and because you work with intelligence, is very involved in assisting the United States in trying to weed out people that might be a concern for the U.S. or national threat to both your nation and our nation. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, that is correct. Actually, we've been very effective along those lines in working with our partners. During the past 3 years, we have been able to intercept and deny access and deny further movement to, as you said, special interest aliens coming from countries that do have some sort of relationship with terrorism organizations, or also individuals that appear in some database and that, you know, might prove some sort of link to terrorist organizations. So obviously, we are not going to allow them to go through. So we go through a very complicated process after they are, reviewed, interviewed, and then they get sent back to wherever they came from.
I know you can't talk about details of cases that you deal with the United States, especially with partners like the CIA or other nations' intelligence apparatus, but can you talk in general about maybe some of the places or some of the people that you have apprehended and where they're from and why that's a concern?
Yes, overall, you know, you said it yourself. It's mainly people from the Middle East and people from Africa. Those are the places that really, you know, most of the time people come with some sort of specific tie that are of interest to our intelligence agencies and our security apparatuses.
When they do enter your country, when you do apprehend them, is it at that point that you reach out to U.S. officials or to other officials around the world regarding these people? Are some of them even on Interpol lists, or do you notice that they're, or are they people that you're currently investigating? How do you know?
Well, it's a combination of things, to be completely open about it, most of these people are not really caught during a regular entry into Guatemala. Most of them are intercepted when they are, you know, walking around in big groups or in a bus moving towards the Mexican border. They come in Guatemala illegally through the borders, either with El Salvador or with Honduras, as they made up their way through from South America into Guatemala. That's when they are captured, or better said, sent to an immigration processing facility where they are interviewed. Once we have all their data, their bio data, we share it with the United States and other partners, see if there is any background information that might help us decide what to do with them, right? And that's when we get feedbacks about this person being a special interest alien or having a warrant for arrest in some country or something else.
Wow, that's incredible. I think that's something that really interests a lot of people here in the United States, because the perception is that all of the people that are crossing are all just poor migrants or people fleeing criminal backgrounds or criminal history in their own countries and coming in here just looking for a better life. But we do have to be concerned about those national security aspects. Let me ask you this. How is it, you know, in the United States, we're looking at problems both in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. What is it like in Guatemala for the majority of people that are coming here to the United States? How are you handling that as a nation? How are you repairing and rebuilding Central America or your own country of Guatemala to ensure that people stay home, that they have a safe place of refuge, that they don't have to leave their own home countries to come here in search of a better life?
Okay, so you know, after 30 years of an internal conflict, Guatemala has gone through a process of trying to rebuild itself. A lot of people say that in Guatemala there is no, low intensity conflict between the right and the left. That's baloney. I'm sorry to use that word, but because really, I mean, in Guatemala, I think it's the hotspot for the ideological war right now in Central America. We have a very, very intense, even though not an actual, use of weapons war, but, media warfare, lawfare, all that type of different types of attacks between each other, the left and the right. So it has come to a point where some of our systems internally are not necessarily functional. I'll give you a couple of examples. Right now, a lot of foreign investors have decided not to come to Guatemala or not to fund more projects in Guatemala because there is no certainty of law and there is no respect for the rule of law. What do I mean? A lot of, unfortunately, a lot of judges in our judicial system have actually sided with several NGOs, unfortunately, leftist NGOs. They've gone against private property and the private process to acquire land and attacking different types of businesses such as mines, such as hydroelectric plants, such as a monocultive plant. And the issue with that is that you have investors that have spent millions of dollars, companies that employ thousands of Guatemalans, and then they get attacked judicially because 40, 50, 60 years ago, they didn't go through a specific process to acquire a land, and NGOs claim now that they are native lands, and then they have to stop their operations and fire all these people. Now, what happens with these people? Guatemala doesn't have a real, socialist state where the government can take care of all that people. So they'll search for an opportunity somewhere else. Unfortunately, there are all these political NGOs or politically oriented NGOs that are also weaponizing these people in need. And they're using, and I've said this before, and I said it to you when we were together on Fox, they're weaponizing these people in need and using them as their own private picketing mobs at the southern border in the United States for political purposes, obviously.
So obviously a lot of the people that are coming in these caravans, particularly from your experience in Guatemala, are being used by these groups, being used by leftists in Central America in order for political purposes to make a statement, to come to the United States and to make life difficult for the government that's now in place. I got to wrap this up, Mario, but I want to ask you one more quick question, and if you can make this quick, I would really appreciate it. But if you were to deliver a message to the Trump administration, what would that be?
Both our countries, but at the executive level, they need to talk to each other and decide what are the good projects, where is worth investing, and where do we need as a developing country or a country trying to develop its own infrastructure and system, where do we need that assistance? How can we clean up our judicial system here to make sure it's not politicized, and how we can actually work so that, I'm going to use a phrase of a friend, if whatever is good for Guatemala is good for the United States, and whatever makes Guatemala great will make the United States great.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Mario. Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you again soon in Guatemala City. Thank you. Wow, Jenny, that interview with Mario Duarte was just great. I felt like we got so much more news out of that than even I expected. It's understandable. I mean, look, Central America has its own internal political problems, its own internal strifes. They work very diligently, especially the Guatemalan government, with the United States intelligence apparatus, as well as our State Department. There's also a lot of issues there that we heard Mario discuss as specifically dealing with NGOs. Did it surprise you at all, Jenny, when you heard that?
It's very surprising because you think these people are helping on the ground and really they're just perpetuating a crisis.
That's it. And that's why we go to these places around the world. We don't just sit behind a desk. We go there. We want to see the stories for ourselves. That's why I will continue to follow this story. I will travel to Central America. I'll travel back to Guatemala. I plan on going to Mexico very soon. I plan on going to El Salvador. That is why we are taking back the story. And I am so excited about this podcast. And I hope that you all listen and come back to the Sarah Carter Show. Please read my stories on sarahacarter.com. Please go to sarahacarter.com. Jenny Tare is also a writer on my website. She's incredible. She's working with me on a lot of projects. We've got Lori Marcus out of Israel, who writes a lot of stories for us as well, and many other writers. Thank you so much, and it's great to be with you. I'll see you next week.